Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. New native language speakers are jumping into the circle of learning for different reasons. Some natives are learning so they can speak to their family members, while others are picking up the language so they can get closer to their community and culture. But learning the mother tongue can be challenging and may take years to perfect. For some, the biggest challenge is pronunciation. When it comes to learning your language, what would you say is the most challenging thing? Tell us about it right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The temporary leader of Canada's largest Native organization says he'll run for the permanent position. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the organization has been fractured by a number of issues.
59-year-old Ghislaine Picard is an Innu from eastern Quebec. He's been heading the Assembly of First Nations since the summer, shortly after former National Chief Sean Atleo resigned. He stepped down after he was criticized by some chiefs of being too cozy with the Prime Minister and the Canadian government, especially over Bill C-33, legislation aimed at improving education for First Nations students and ensuring Aboriginal control over the curriculum. Critics said there was not enough consultation from Native leaders and that it disrespected treaty rights. The AFN speaks for nearly 1 million First Nations people in Canada. Picard says there are several issues that need to be addressed quickly by the new leader.
One has to realize that there are many, many issues in terms of how the Assembly of First Nations should function. What is the decision-making process? And we have to find the proper balance in terms of making the Assembly of First Nations not only relevant, but also more efficient in terms of the process moving forward.
Some key issues that have come up this year include the Supreme Court decision that for the first time recognized First Nations title to a specific tract of land, full public disclosure of chief salaries and the financial information from 600 First Nations communities, and the continued calls for a public inquiry into the number of murdered and missing Aboriginal women and girls. Elections for the new leader will take place in early December when the organization meets in Winnipeg. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Obama administration is working with lawmakers to allow more tribes to use trust lands. The issue was discussed during a recent tribal leaders meeting. Matt Laszlo has more.
5 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled in Carcieri v. Salazar the federal government couldn't expand reservation boundaries if tribes were recognized after 1934. Kevin Washburn, a member of the Chickasaw Nation, leads the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He wants Congress to amend the law and says his agency's hands are tied in the meantime.
We have to follow it, so we are going to apply it. It is the law of the land, but we're not applying it any more broadly than it should be applied.
Oklahoma Republican Congressman Tom Cole says tribal leaders shouldn't expect a Carcieri fix before leadership of the House Natural Resources Committee changes hands. He says the committee's Republican members are hearing falsehoods from back home.
Our real opposition are a lot of attorney generals out there that don't understand or don't want to accept tribal sovereignty. And, you know, that's what's really moving a lot of members and where a lot of pressure is. So it'll be a terrific lobbying effort. And if we get it over here, it's going to be a fight.
Cole says once a bill escapes the Natural Resources Committee, he believes a bipartisan coalition in the full House is ready to restore the Interior Department's power to benefit tribes recognized after 1934. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Native leaders are raising concerns about a recent court decision. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled in a case that families and other Native families wanting to be considered an option for children in state custody must file formal adoption petitions. The court pointed to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision last year in the Baby Veronica case in requiring the new rule. The Alaska Federation of Natives and the Tanana Chiefs Conference say the decision will bar Native families from asserting their rights under the Indian Child Welfare Act, which is intended to keep Indian children with Indian families. The groups also say the court decision will increase the number of Native children who will be severed from their families and culture. The Baby Veronica case involved a fight between the biological father and the planned adoptive parents of a little girl. The adoptive parents gained custody. Tribes, advocates, and Native organizations across the country have voiced concerns about implications from the Baby Veronica case. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 5th Annual National Tribal Geographic Information Support Conference on November 3rd. Information on services and the conference at ahcnm.org.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered. Cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Picking up your native language is a celebrated thing in Native America. When you speak your language, you are connecting to culture and past generations. But the journey to learning your native language is not always an easy path. Today, we'll open up the discussion to what kind of obstacles new native language speakers face when they start to learn their language. We'll also hear how people are overcoming the challenges, and we want to hear from you, too. Have you started learning your native language? What kind of obstacles did you have to climb over? And what kind of skills did you have to pick up in order to get going on the road of learning? Our phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. And this hour is also a time for you to share your celebrations, too. You know, who do you have to thank for supporting you while you were learning? And what kind of advice would you like to give others who may be struggling with picking up their tribal language? The number to join us is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now joining us from the Oneida Indian Nation is Chelsea Jocko, and she's learning her Oneida language through the tribe's language program, and she's a member of the Oneida Nation. Would like to go ahead and welcome her to the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling, Chelsea.
Sukuli. Chelsea Nyungat Osluni Gay Yokilio Nyungat Ungwahuene Wakwahuni Ganyota Agani Onita Aga Jikanalohale Nuni Twagain. Hello everyone. My name's Chelsea. My native name is She Has a Nice Snowflake. I'm Wolf Clan, I'm Oneida, and I'm Oneida of New York.
Chelsea, thank you for welcoming us in with your language. It's great to hear our native languages on the air today. And of course, you are also encouraged to call in and, you know, exercise those skills too. Phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Chelsea, what does it mean to you to be able to introduce yourself that way? Go ahead, Chelsea.
Hello.
All right. Again, phone lines are open. Let's see if we can check in with Chelsea. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also reach out to us on our social media. 1-800-99-NATIVE is where you find us on Twitter. And Chelsea, you introduced yourself in your language. What does it mean to you to be able to do that?
For me, to be able to do that, I believe that for me to learn the language was like maintaining the language, because it's the important part of the survival of the Oneida tribal identity. Because I felt that without the language, all the tribal people would lose the importance of their identities, because the spoken language is like a tool used in ceremonies. A language can live on, like, when it is used in everyday life. And it also helps keep a strong sense of self-worth and the community identity, and to keep the strong, or the culture strong.
And you're a part of it, Chelsea, and that's great. And Chelsea, have you always been a speaker, or what is your story when it comes to learning your language?
like the story, like and learn my language, even though I'm Oneida. I grew up like up in Akwesasne, like along like the Mohawk Reservation, and here I learned a little bit of the Kanikehaka language up north from relatives and schools up there. Then here when I came and moved down here 10 years ago, I wanted to learn like my language, the Oneida language, and here there's a lot of similarities in here. That's when I took the class 2 years ago just to wanted to learn it and pass it on to my nephew and try to say it around like, well, right now they have me and a couple instructors like in a daycare setting. So we're trying to do like a full-on Oneida immersion class where we're just speaking full Oneida language. So it helps us practice more if we're going to speak outside of the classroom setting.
And Chelsea, when it comes to being able to chat with others, how accessible is it? Is everybody in your community able to talk? Like, can you try out your new skills in the community, or how would you describe it?
Well, I try not to speak too much because I want other people to understand. Like, usually, too, I'll use hand gestures here and there. Like, and if they don't understand, then I'll say, oh, this is what I said, like, just to help out a little bit. So, I don't know, I just want to try to get the language going and out there for other community members.
Okay, and maybe some of those community members, maybe they're listening right now. We want to hear from you, too. Phone lines are open. What do you think about more people picking up their native language? Is this something you've dreamed about? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you've also decided, I'm going to learn my language, the language of my tribe, you know, what have you found? Are there people who you can go to learn? And folks who are in the middle of it and you know it all well, you know, are there any challenges that you've run into and how have you overcome them? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Chelsea, I understand that there are no fluent speakers on the Oneida Nation. You know, tell me about that. Why is that so?
Almost like our fluent speakers have all like moved up to like Oneida, Canada, like in the past. So we've had help like try to bring back our language so that we can keep our culture strong and help us like try to help us learn like to keep people from not fearing from it, but just try to keep people to speak it and not worry about making mistakes and just learn as you go.
All right. And I think that's something, you know, a lot of people can relate to of you got to just keep doing it. And, you know, are you somebody who has tried to teach your language to your loved ones? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And, you know, what is the best advice for learning your language? Here's something from Facebook. Leo says, learn every day. Don't be scared to ask questions. Tribal languages are beautiful. What do you think? 1-800-996-2848. Here's what Eve says on Twitter. She says, I'm learning Navajo right now, and it's rough, mostly in the writing. And getting the tones right is also hard at times. What about you? Is it hard to make some of those sounds in your tribal language? Any tricks that you've been taught how to think about it? 1-800-996-2848. We want to hear from you. And Chelsea, you know, what are some of the difficulties that you and maybe you're talking about this with other students that you're running into to really be able to get going in the language?
I know that learning a language is not easy, but like it is hard. Like you're trying to learn from one thing and learn to another, and here you have to switch your, like, your sounds and your accents around, like where the sound rises. It's almost like you're singing. Like, that's why I think, like, it's like a beautiful language. Like, it feels like you're flowing and you're singing along, like, as you're saying the words.
And, you know, you're reminding me of my own journey to get better at my own language. And I think one difficulty that you run into is you think in English. You want to articulate what you want to say, but you're thinking in English. And so I'm wondering if there's anybody out there who thinks, you know, you gotta put that aside and think in a new way. Or, you know, what are you doing to help language speakers really get their head around it? Can you speak your native language when thinking in English? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Chelsea, I also understand that you want to continue at this and maybe even be a teacher and teaching more of the language. Any thoughts about how this will help your community?
Just have like a sense of communication and just go with the flow and try to use it like if we run into each other and like in a part of town and be able to say hello, how are you, or say like, oh, I'm fine, or it's going good, it's going great. Like, it'll be great to hear that, like, within the community or even outside of the, like out of the village. Like, usually too, like, it'll be, like, really interesting just to hear it. Like, I'm even seeing, like, improvements amongst the, like, a little bit, like, with the 3- and 4-year-olds. Like, it's really interesting. Like, I'll hear them speak a little bit, and it feels like we're progressing and getting it a little out there.
But sure, I bet that feels really good, you know, being able to walk through the community and hearing that language. And for our listeners, is that something you enjoy about living in your community, that more and more you're hearing people greet each other in your language? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Chelsea, before we let you go, you know, how important is it that you have support, people who really are also interested in you learning the language? Do you have any folks who really supported you?
Just my mom and my siblings and everyone all around me, like, just to keep going and don't stop and just relax and pretty much just take it all in and just really listen to what is being taught.
Chelsea, we want to wish you the best, you know, picking up your language. Please do keep in contact. You know, let's chat again sometime down the road and hear, you know, more of that beautiful Oneida language. We appreciate you joining us today. And we're also inviting you to join the conversation. Is there a movement to get more native speakers in your community? And what is your tribe doing to make sure more people can speak? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And our associate producer, Andy Murphy, recently talked to Vance Holmgun. And Vance is a champion for change from the Center for Native American Youth. And if you don't remember his name, he's the young man who asked President Obama a tough question about what the U.S. government is doing to help revitalize Native languages and cultures. And that was during a town hall session in July earlier this year. Here is some more from Vance Holmgun.
What made you want to learn Salish?
I want to learn my language to ensure the survival of my culture, to ensure the survival of our history.
What kinds of difficulties have you run into when learning Salish?
There wasn't that many materials to study from. The teachers were scarce. Places to go and learn the language were scarce. And so having a place where you know you can go and get language lessons is vital. where you can be surrounded by language teachers, where you can be surrounded by fluent speakers is important. So definitely we need to improve in those areas.
Are there any certain attitudes that fluent speakers have towards non-speakers and those who are trying to learn?
I would say in the years past, elders were a little more intense about language learning. I think they just believe that if you're an Indian person, you should know your language, you should know your culture. But I think later on, as the years go on, we've lost so much of our culture and language that they're beginning to understand that it's important, that they need to encourage the younger ones to really step up to the plate. And so I think it's just gotten better.
What do you wish your tribe had in terms of helping more people learn Salish?
I wish my tribe had a place where people can go just to, so they can have a foundation point, whether it's some type of cultural center, some type of beginner school where people can go and just get a foundation. And then if they're really that hungry for it, then we could help them move to the next step. But definitely a place where they can go if they think they want to learn it, a place where they can go and get a good foundation.
You encourage youth to speak their native language. What are they telling you about the difficulties they're starting to see when learning their language?
I think youth have a hard time connecting to elders because of the age. Some youth are just natural at it, and some just have a hard time making that connection to the older generation. It definitely helps if they kind of overcome that fear and get to know their elders, the people who that was their way of life growing up. And you want to learn it firsthand from someone who learned it firsthand. So I think that's the biggest struggle right now with our youth. Our youth are definitely involved in a lot of things they shouldn't be involved in, especially on the reservations. But learning your language, learning your culture definitely makes you feel a lot better about yourself, kind of gives you a sense of direction kind of in life.
Can you take me to a moment when you were really frustrated with the language, and how did you push through?
There's been a few moments when you get a little discouraged because, you know, the number of fluent speakers is scarce, and when the politics get involved, it just slows down the process of revitalizing your language altogether. So you have to learn to overcome those types of things, and you just keep pushing forward, and you remember the encouraging words your mentors taught you when you go through these tough times, that you just keep pushing through and you keep the vision clear, basically.
And that was Vance Holmgren talking with associate producer Andy Murphy. And what about you? What kind of advice have people given you in picking up your native language? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And you are listening to Native America Calling today. We are talking about the difficulties that may come from learning your native language. Again, we want to hear from you, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Andrew in Kildare, North Dakota. He's tuned in on KMHA. And Andrew, what do you think?
Well, actually, what I think is, for myself, I experienced with me, when I was a young age, I was raised by the non-natives. So, anyway, when I came back into my reservation, I got married about when I was 18 years old. And all my in-laws, they talk Navajo, you know, Navajo language all the time, every time, you know, every minute. So I was lost there, but as I went on, you know, having that, the Navajo language around me 24/7, you know, I started picking up, you know, here a word here and there. And finally, here, about, within about 3 or 4 months, I couldn't believe it. I was speaking the language. And to this day, I speak my own language.
And so, Andrew, when you started picking it up, you know, was it easy at first? Did you fall right into it, or is it a different story?
Well, I felt out of place. I'll be the only one to be talking English all the time, you know. You know, when people are talking Navajo, or even when they're asking me a question in Navajo, I would answer back in English, and I was like, I felt out of place. So those are the main reasons why I kind of forced myself to learn, you know what I'm saying? So I understood what they were talking about, but it was kind of hard to speak one or two words. But, you know, as I said, like I said, you know, down the road, you know, about 2 months, and I was saying, you know, I was a cynic, you know. And I just felt out of place not speaking my own language around my in-laws, you know. And I think that's what made me force myself to learn, you know. not quick, but, you know, I just need to be, you know, involved with them, you know.
Sure. And Andrew, were there any maybe challenging words that, you know, you tried and you kept working at it and then eventually, you know, you picked it up? Any words like that?
Yeah, there was a lot of words like that. And then there's sometimes I would like explain something or, you know, like in my language, and then they would correct me, like, well, you said this wrong, you know, you're supposed to say it this way, you know. So, yeah, they taught me my way up, but they didn't make fun of me, you know. And but I was pretty serious about learning my own language. And to this day, I speak really good, you know, really good Navajo. So,
Andrew, you want to share any of it with us?
Excuse me?
Would you like to share any Navajo with us?
Oh, yeah. I'd just like to tell everybody out there, Nishino Shinche, that they are the end.
And what'd you say, Andrew?
I said, have everybody have a good day out there, and may God bless you.
All right, thanks, Andrew. And any advice to new learners?
Well, as a parent, I think it's all really up to the parents. You know, I think it's a parent's job, really, to tell you the truth. For myself, you know, around my home, my home, you know, I speak, you know, my language only around my kids. Even to them, I'll speak, you know, my language to them, and, you know, if I want some or explain something to them, I'll speak it to them in that way. And if they don't understand, sometimes they'll look at me all weird, but, you know, I'll tell them, well, this is what I said, you know, and they would understand, and they would try to, you know. But most, I have three kids, and they all understand that well. You know, me talking to them, that well, they all understand it. And for them to speak it back to me, they're learning. They're in the process right now that they're learning how to speak and how to talk to me in that well. So, which is good. You know,
all right. Andrew, thank you for your call there in Kildare. And it's encouraging. You know, you hear from folks who are picking it up. And when we asked Andrew to speak, it was a lot of confidence in there. And I don't have an acute knowing when somebody's speaking great Navajo, but man, it flowed to me. And Andrew, we appreciate you sharing. And also want to encourage any folks who are picking up their language. And if you feel comfortable and you just want to, you know, celebrate with us and share what you know, you can give us a call. Speak in your language, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Even if you only know a handful of words, you know, we want to encourage you to. You can give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And Andrew also mentioned, you know, the role parents play. What do you think? Are parents making sure that their young people are picking up the language? And parents, you know, you can tell us what it's like too. Is it easy to teach your language to your kids? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And you can also reach out to us on Twitter. Send us a tweet. Tell us what you're thinking. You can find us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also send us an email at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. We're going to pause for a moment so we can tell you what is coming up tomorrow. And we'll be right back after the break. Family members and activists continue to draw attention to the alarming number of cases that involve missing and murdered Indigenous women. On the next Native America Calling, we want to hear from you and what you think needs to be done to address this issue. What would you like to see change to protect our Indigenous women?
Sacred Wind Communications education nonprofit, Sacred Wind Community Connect, is a proud sponsor of this program. Sacred Wind provides high school and college scholarships and internet training to areas of the Navajo Nation and Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico, where the parent company provides voice and broadband services. Sacred Wind believes that broadband technologies can reinforce Native cultures and offer other opportunities for self-determination. For more information, log on to sacredwindcommunications.com. By the renovated Anchorage Marriott Downtown, one block from the Denina Convention Center and close to restaurants and shopping, welcoming AFN attendees and their families. For booking information, 1-800-228-9290 and mention AFN.
If you are a Native American, there's one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native business. Vote on November 4th. It makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Let your Native voice be heard. Vote for our people, our land, and our future. Go to nativenews.net for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Today we're talking about maybe some hardships you face when trying to learn your native language. And some people might have that natural ability to speak their language, while others might find it difficult because they may not have the resources, or there might even be few speakers to learn from. But that definitely doesn't stop people from trying to do their part in keeping their language alive. And we want to know, are you trying to learn your native language? And what kind of difficulties are you running into? And how are you getting over them? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to go ahead and bring in a voice from Hoopa Valley, California. We have Ginger Rogers on the line. She's the director for the Indian Center there. And she is Hoopa. Welcome to Native America Calling, Ginger.
Hey, Hoftwistatang Nasmats Ahulye, Natinu Suhtai, Nachnin Wuhi Adets Nikiao Ahulye, Julian Jamel Ahulye. Hello, all my relations. I'm Ginger. I live in Hoopa. I have two sons, Adets Nikiao and Julian.
And Ginger, before we get started, you know, what is Indian, the acronym? What does that stand for? Tell us about it.
Indian, the Indian Center is Nohostinisai Ding Nuhuang. And that stands for the place we are acquiring skills in a good way.
Very nice. And Ginger, for you, you know, how important is it that people are picking up the language?
Oh, it's so important. It's such a big piece of who we are. It's not everything so much that I would look down on anybody who doesn't want to learn the language, but it's enough to warm my heart to share it with other people and see other people speaking, kids and elders alike. I think it's a healing thing.
And Ginger, you know, for you, you know, what was it like picking up your language?
Well, I was fortunate. Our school here on the reservation is a public school. We would have elders come in and share stories, and we would have people come and sing songs and, you know, do the basic language with us. So I was kind of blessed in that way to pick up numbers and animals and colors and things like that, and just hear elders come and tell stories and just speaking, and it just always, I was just always attracted to that, you know, just the fluency of our language and knowing that that's ours, you know, we still have it barely, but we do.
So would you say you picked it up pretty quickly?
I think so. It's not always easy. Everything takes practice, but yeah, I think we, from what I was told, we have a natural tongue. My brother, my sister, and myself, we've caught on pretty quickly. And we're continuing to, you know, it's an everyday thing, a learning process. There's still so much to learn, but overall, the basics, I would say they come, I'm pretty blessed with our natural tongue.
And what do you think about that? And where do you think that comes from? Is it, a desire to learn the language, or what do you think?
I think it's deeper than a desire. I think it's just in my genes. Some of the stories that I've been told is that us as Hoopa people, there are stories about us actually coming into this world knowing our language. So you have to reacquire the ability to speak it, but that's our natural thing. And if we're introduced to those sounds and we're spoken to, you know, in Hoopa when we're younger, then we're more able to continue that. I feel like it's ingrained.
You know, speaking of feelings, we also want to hear from our listening audience. For those of you who have learned to speak your language, do you feel different? You know, do you feel more connected to your community? What about your elders? What about your culture? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Benita in Farmington, New Mexico. She's tuned in on KTDP. Welcome to Native America Calling, Benita.
Hello, my name is Benita. I'm Navajo, originally from Denahotso, Arizona. Just wanted to say that I am proud that I've learned my Navajo language at a young age, taught by my grandma, my masana, my che, my nala, and Nijon and Kizad. And I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, learning to communicate with your elders is passing on your culture, introducing yourself and your four corners. It's a great tradition to pass on.
All right, Benita, thank you for your call. There in Farmington, you can join us too, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Sherry in Oneida, New York, tuned in online. Sherry, what would you like to share with us?
I would just like to share, I think that when you learn language, you really need a lot of support from your community and your nation and your leaders, because it's a lot harder than you think to learn the language. And I think when they don't really learn the language, they don't really know what it takes. And it takes, I've been in the language for 20 years now, and I'm fairly fluent, but I still have a lot of distance to cover to get more fluent. And it's just a constant putting the work into it to get our people trained in the language and be able to speak, not just learn it, but speak it. I think speaking is a little more harder than just learning how to say things. And I just want to say that it's the most beautiful gift that you could ever have. And it needs a lot of work. It needs all the 100% effort from your nation and your people and your leaders.
All right, Sherry, thank you for that. Give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE. What do you think? You know, does it take support from our whole community to get us speaking? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Jules in Whitefish, Montana, and he is tuned in today. Hello, Jules. What would you like to share with us?
Well, I just wanted to, I guess, put my point forward that both my wife and I are not Native American, but our daughter is half Native American. And her heritage is Cree. So we've spent quite a bit of time, at least online, trying to learn as much vocabulary as we can so that there are sounds that she hears. And then occasionally when we go to different cultural events, we'll come upon people who want to help share the language, and they help correct us or help us with, you know, how something is said in a particular context. So we try very hard to give that to our daughter.
And Jules, you know, what more support would you like to make sure that, you know, your daughter is really connecting to the language?
Well, that's the hard part, is trying to connect with people who are willing to give that amount of time, because it really takes a significant amount of effort to learn language. It's not like you can, you know, spend a few hours a week online or with a book to do that. You really have to spend time speaking with other people. So that's the hardest part.
All right, Jules, we appreciate you for sharing. And again, phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now joining us today from Glen Pool, Oklahoma, is George Kozer, and he is Muscogee Creek and fluent in his native tongue. And we want to go ahead and welcome him to the hour. Hello, George.
Good morning, or good afternoon, as the case may be. Just like to kind of go over some of the things that were just said. You know, just the language to me is very important. I'm considered an elder, and I'm just I can remember when growing up, I heard my mother and father, they spoke all the time in the household. And my grandmother, she died in 1967, and she didn't speak any English at all, so it was, I heard it all the time. So I guess it's kind of like what they call osmosis. But it still, I gather with some of my elders on when I get a chance, I go down to our capital of our tribe is in Old Maugee, Oklahoma. I go down there to eat with the senior citizens. We have a table there, and all the fluent speakers are there. We have elder gentlemen sitting there, and sometimes the women will come over and we'll sit there and we'll speak. And it's good to keep it up because we do have language programs here in Oklahoma among the Muscogee Creek Nation. And so that's good. But, you know, I heard a while ago somebody was talking about, you know, to me, to learn that language is you have to speak it all the time. And I tell people that in order to, how did you learn English? You spoke it every day. So more or less, you know, getting around somebody that speaks it all the time and have them share it with you. And I was very fortunate because even right now, I can pick up my phone and call somebody and we can have a conversation in our language. And so,
and George, you know, I think that's something that we all, you know, would like to see happening where we are at that point. And, you know, I think we could get there, you know, as we continue to really honor our language by learning to speak it and keeping it alive. And George, we've heard also from folks, you know, who feel there needs to be more support so that people who are, you know, starting to learn the language can really get it flowing. And George, how important is it to have support so that, you know, people feel confident to speak and get to that point where the language is flowing?
It's very important because, you know, I got to, last week I got to speak on Wednesday nights. I teach a dance class, and for our, we have our dances, and I teach that. And also I have some young people, and the youngest one, she's around 6 or 7 years old. I speak to her in our language, which I really enjoy. This young lady, you know, that young, speaking our language. I mean, to me, it gives me hope that our language won't die. But it's getting thin right now. And we used to have a lot of speakers, but you know, support. I think support is one of the best things, especially from us that speak, and giving support to our young people. And also, we have adults that don't speak, and you know, it's sometimes, you know, when I was teaching the language, I ran across things. For example, some student would say, you know, their parents went to boarding school and they discouraged them from speaking, so they quit speaking, so the next generations didn't speak. And I know some families that said, you know, they didn't want their children to have a tough time in school, which I can understand. But still, you know, this is the language that the Creator gave to us. And from, you know, this red section of the world, you know, this is our indigenous languages are what keeps us together. And we have words in our language, you know, that, you know, they tell us about why this earth is this way, why we do this. And, you know, but it's very important to have support from elders and from people that speak. And sometimes, you know, when you're teaching, especially young people or sometimes even adults, if you have to be open-minded, the person learning, because sometimes you could, I've seen some who have been offended because there was a little chuckle in there. And sometimes if you're, you know, sometimes you have to go through that. I remember when I was a young man, real young, my grandmother would chuckle at me, but she would tell me what I was saying wrong. So, you know, I know that support.
And Ginger, I also want to ask you that, you know, any advice on how you keep pushing through and learning the language?
You know, just use it all the time around somebody. And you know, I can visit with people and they say, oh, yeah, Mama used to say that. Daddy used to say that. Grandpa used to say that. But you're just keeping those words going, even though, you know, I have a little great niece. She's 4 years old, and my brother and I are always talking to her in her language, you know, and just to make sure that, you know, that it doesn't die, the language, because if it, my grandmother, Abby Kozer was her name, she died in 1967 at 106. She used to always tell me, if our language dies and we as a people die, we don't have that connection to the Creator anymore, because our language that was given to us by the Creator.
And it is important for us to keep that connection. Thanks for that, George. Also with us today is Ginger Rogers from Hoopa. And Ginger, you know, anything else you want to add to just to make sure, you know, people who are learning the language that they continue to keep on even through those difficult times?
Yeah, I really just want to piggyback off of what was said. It is so important to use it, you know, like use it or lose it. And that's so crucial to find people who do speak, even if it's basic words. We do that a lot here with our kids in the program, is we're throwing out basic words all the time. And anything that we're doing, be quiet, sit down, yes, no, you know, any of the things that we can use every day. And he really led on to something that triggered something in me. You know, when I was younger, my brother and sister, they were older than me, and they picked it up pretty quickly. And so the language teachers kind of pulled me right in and really helped support us in those areas. And they all thought that we spoke at home. They said, hey, you must talk all the time. You must talk with your family. You know, your mom speaks. And I thought, mom doesn't speak. Like, we don't speak at home. It's just, you know, us learning this. And they all said, you speak so well. They thought that we spoke all the time. And so I was talking to mom about it. You know, why don't you speak, mom? And like he had mentioned with the boarding schools, it was the same scenario for her. She was learning, and she came home all excited, learning Hoopa, and went running into the kitchen to tell her dad some words. And she kind of twisted one, said something a little different, and he got upset. And just with her speaking, he whipped her, he beat her, and he had beat her so bad that she couldn't walk herself to the bathroom. And she, you know, she was bedridden for a while, and of course he took care of her, but he told her, you know, I will not have a white man beating you. And he was a product of the boarding school. He was boarding school brainwashed, and he was told that wasn't okay to use that language, and he didn't want a non-native person doing the same thing to her. So he stopped her the moment she was learning words. And to me, that was really deep. You know, it's a lot of people say, you know, oh, that's in the past, get over it. And I just think, my mom couldn't walk because of, you know, what was done to her grandpa, and, you know, how he shared that and passed that to her. And that's a lot of what we're dealing with this historical trauma and everyday things that's alive and real. So for me, the language is, it's very, very healing, and it's very comforting to know that, you know, we are still here. We are still learning this. We are still using it and speaking it and sharing it with the kids. And one of the things that we take pride in here in my program is, you know, we'll take our kids over to the Senior Nutrition Center so they can speak and sing to the elders, because I really honestly truly believe that speaking the language is a healing thing.
And Ginger, I can see how that can be a devastating thing that, you know, the story you shared of why, you know, maybe picking up the language isn't always immediately encouraged. And, you know, if that's something you can relate to, you know, is the biggest challenge in learning your language convincing speakers that it should be spoken? You can reach out to us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. We have a caller on the line. We're bringing in Noah in Porcupine, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Noah, what would you like to share?
First of all, I would like to thank all the people, and I'd like to say I'm proud of the people within our own tribe, the Oglala Nation, all the young people and all the people now who are still speaking. I would like to say I'm proud of you for trying to keep the language today. And I would also like to say that to all the people that it would be good to live in the now. And the language is very important. And it's very important to all tribes. I believe that. And it's very important to me. And I would like to also say that the language is a spiritual language, our language, and that the language will bring dreams to help us heal our sicknesses here on Earth, and I believe that. Without the language, there is no dream, and without the dream, there is no people. And I would just like to encourage all the people throughout this land to do what you can and just keep doing what you're doing now to hold on to the language.
All right, Noah, thank you for your call there in Porcupine. Let's bring in Joseph in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI as well. Joseph, what would you like to add?
I'd like to say, honey, wash day to the Oyate out there. I'm Oglala Lakota. And me, I myself, I'm still learning. You know, I'm in my 30s now, but the language is kind of hard to learn because you got that guttural, you know, but something I can't do real good. So I try my best, but, you know, I learned from my dad, you know, the Lakota elder, my mom, my grandparents, and my wife, you know, she's a college student. She's taking that at the college over here in Pine Ridge, so I'd like to thank her and my parents, you know, for teaching me my language, which, you know, our youth need to learn nowadays. Nowadays, it's, you know, it's disappearing. It's like the clouds on a windy day go away. I mean, that's how our language is getting right now, and it's sad. But,
We got to keep speaking, Joseph. And, you know, I think it's great that you are honoring those who are giving you that bridge to the language. We have a lot of people to thank, you know, when it comes to being able to speak this and making sure, you know, through everything, we still have this language. Some good stuff. And again, you can reach out to us by sending us an email at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And George, you know, how does it make you feel to hear that, you know, despite everything, people still want to learn the language?
I think it's great because, you know, this native language, all the tribes here in this red section of the world, other languages that are brought over here, they're visitors. They're visitors in our land. So, you know, this language that we speak comes from here on the land that we inhabit. So, you know, that's just what makes me feel good is our language, you know. And just like I said a while ago, my grandmother used to say that, you know, if we lose that language, then we lose ourselves, you know, and we'll be speaking a foreign language, which is English. And even though we have to use it today, but still, when you're using, you know, it, to me, I go to our ceremonies, and our ceremonies are done in our language. And if they were done in English, it would lose its entire meaning. So, and also, just like I said, when I meet with my elders, we have a good time talking. Also, you know, we tell jokes and things that when I come away from that little session, just visiting with my elders, I feel good. I feel like my spirit has been, you know, enhanced for that day. Then I get back into the other world. So, but when I'm speaking my language, I'm in that world of being who I am. We say in our language, Mashkogi. That's our language. But when I get into that realm, when I'm speaking it, I'm almost like in another world. That's my world and my people's world. So I feel so great. And I just like everybody else to, among our people, to feel that good feeling. And so to me, you know, that it's a spiritual thing. Somebody mentioned a while ago, the spirit, you know, that's where it is. And when there's a lot of things in my language is very descriptive. We talk about, you know, even the hand, we call the thumb our hand, ingiichki, means your mother, the mother of your hand. And those four other ones are her babies.
And George, we appreciate you connecting us to that world. And there's still, you know, a lot more to discuss about the beauty of our language. And this is just a part of it. And we do want to encourage all the folks who are picking up the language, you know, to keep on. We're hearing great stories and why it is important today. And that's going to go ahead and wrap up our discussion today on native language. But before we move on, I would like to thank our guests for joining us and sharing their thoughts and definitely the suggestions, too. Thanks to Chelsea Jocko, Ginger Rogers, and whom you just heard, too, George Kozer, for being on the line today. And tomorrow, On Native America Calling, we're going to take on a topic that is affecting many nations throughout our Native populations. The issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women is causing a lot of Native nations to speak up, including Native activists and artists. And more Native recording artists are making their thoughts known on the issue. On Monday, Ojibwe recording artist Crystal Shawanda will release her new album, The Whole World's Got the Blues, and it features a song, Pray, Sister, Pray, and it's her lyrical alarm to bring more attention to the missing and murdered people. Here's that song now.
Hey, sister, did you hear? Billy Rose ain't never been found. Went missing on the 4th of June. Family hasn't heard a sound. Jim Crow met her walking that knocked off Beach Road. Said she was meeting friends downtown, but then she never showed, and nobody knows. Hey, hey, where did she go? Hey, hey, someone has to know. Hey, hey, where did she go?
That was Pray, Sister, Pray by Crystal Shawanda. You can find out more information about that song and her album at crystalshawanda.co. And we are picking up the discussion tomorrow on the missing and murdered women of Native America and Canada. And that's going to do it for our program today. I want to thank our crew, executive producer Sarah Gustavus, a senior producer Monica Brain, associate producer Andy Murphy, and Stephen Emmons engineered today's show. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Join us again tomorrow.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.